Good morning, everyone. I'm Jaime López Roosevelt. I'm working in the European Commission in the DG Justice. And indeed, I was working on the ECRIS now since 7 years. So it has been a while. But there is another person here in the room that has been working in the field of criminal record that will be also introducing himself later and telling you about the history of this. Well, I have the pleasure this morning to entertain you with the ECRIS, because I think and I hope that you will learn a lot of things. For those ones that have never heard about this, I will say system. It's not a database, it's a system. It's quite technically indeed, but I will spare you the technical details, of course, and I will try to explain to you, I will say in 30 minutes, what is ECRIS about. My intention is indeed to walk you through, I will say, the different aspects of ECRIS, which is why ECRIS came. So, of course, when we are talking about the exchange of information, we might also be facing some problems due to the exchange of information. How this, I would say, problems that the practitioners were encountering was overcome by the implementation of some specific elements. I will explain to you what are the key principles of these exchanges, and definitely I will be very pleased to show you what are the achievements today. And of course, there will be, just one sentence about the future, because for the future I will hand over to my colleagues here next to me that will explain you what are the next steps in this for the ECRIS. Before I will say talking about the objective, because that's I would say a usual presentation, I would say ECRIS stands for the European Criminal Record Information System. I like maybe to start in another way, maybe with the conclusion first of ECRIS. And I was writing down what I think today I can already draw a conclusion of ECRIS. ECRIS is a success story. It's a European success story, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fantastic, I would say, example of successful harmonization of behavior of judicial authorities in Europe. And thanks to that, this has improved quite substantially the exchanges of criminal record information in Europe. So I could stop there, but I'm happy now to, show you why this is indeed a successful story and how we came to that, actually. The objective. Well, you know, since 1985, we are, living in a, so-called Schengen place, Schengen area. The Schengen Agreement was signed in 1985, and people are enjoying, the freedom of movement in Europe. That's really great. We see that when we are boarding, we are not checked, we are not. So actually, in Europe, there is an increasing mobility, that has been seen the last 30 years. But the same happens for convicted persons. They are also, enjoying that freedom of movement. They are moving from one place to another place, very easily, as we are, of course. So the reason why ECRIS, or the reason why there was a need to improve the exchange of criminal record information, was actually that we noticed that convicted persons could easily escape their criminal past by moving from one member state to another member state. So actually, there was really a need to improve the exchange of information in order to allow, and that's the first objective, to allow judicial authorities to get complete criminal record information on persons convicted in Europe. And that's indeed for criminal proceedings, that's quite obvious, but also in, for future activities of the offenders. So suppose the person, the same convicted person, would like to reside in another member state. Well, there was a need probably to check as well whether that person had past criminal record information. Or before, hiring a person, suppose now, you have maybe children, you are giving, your children the Sunday in the Scouts. Well, you would like to know if the persons, the animators, have also not been convicted in the past by sexual offenses. Well, indeed, the ECRIS has been established for such a purpose, Changing nationality as well is one of these processes. So actually, what we call that in ECRIS is indeed the other purposes than criminal proceedings. ECRIS is not only for criminal proceedings, but it's also for other purposes than criminal proceedings. And there is already a small footnote here on the slide, but I'm happy to come back to that later, that this other purpose than criminal proceeding is indeed according to the national law. So it's not mandatory, but I will come to that in a few seconds, if required indeed. So this would give the impression that before ECRIS there was nothing. No, that's not true. You might be maybe aware or familiar with this already exchange protocol, which is indeed called the Mutual Legal Assistance Protocol. But that protocol had still some pitfalls. For those who are not familiar, I'm just, I will say here, highlighting what I consider the main pitfalls of this protocol, which is in fact that there is no central authority as such. So when a judicial authority somewhere in Europe wants to use that protocol in order to ask for criminal record information to another authority somewhere in Europe, there was no, I would say, such appointed central authority or unique authority. The person had to find out where in Europe this information could be directed. Secondly, I would say it was slow, but slow means anything and nothing, I would say. Slow means that there was no such, I would say, provision in the protocol to say that we had to respond within a few days, a few hours, a few months, a few years. It was not very clear indeed. And the frequency was not, I would say, also that, I would say, regulated in that protocol. And on the top of that, indeed, if we start talking about cross-border exchange of information, there was also this barrier of the language that when the protocol was used, you could send from a French authority to a German one, but then, of course, you will get a response in German, and you will get a response that you will be hardly understanding unless you have, I would say, some people around you, I would say, able to translate, and so on and so forth. So actually, there was definitely also a language barrier. I'm not saying that this, this is completely solved by the ECRIS or the so-called criminal record package, which is actually a legal instrument or two legal instruments, which are written here in a quite cryptic way, which is first the framework decision and the council decision establishing the ECRIS system. But those main pitfalls were indeed addressed in this legal instrument. So actually that was a first way of overcoming the problems encountered by practitioners when trying to find out where in Europe there would be past information, past conflicted information on a person, actually, by first establishing a legal basis for that, these two instruments. The two instruments, I will not spend, I will say, my time in telling you what are the articles and the interesting provisions on that, but I will try to illustrate that, I would say, not using legal words, but more, I would say, business words and principles and describing the mechanism. The two instruments are establishing general provisions on how the mechanism of exchange should look like. But it's not enough. It's not because you are exchanging information that's the end of the road. There is an additional instrument that I didn't mention here, but it's also as important as the two one, establishing the exchange of information, which is the necessity to take into account past conviction. It's not because a judicial authority is receiving information from another person or from another entity somewhere in Europe that the activity is done. There was a need at European level to also regulate the fact of taking into account such conviction. And that instrument is not listed here because that's not the purpose of my presentation, to elaborate on that. So, part of the problem could be solved by having a legal instrument, that's fine, but now in practice, and now it becomes interesting. Well, as I said, before the ECRIS, there was something working. There was this mutual legal assistance protocol, but there was also a pilot project. There was an initiative launched by four member states in 2005 and 2006, and I'm sure Vincent will be happy to explain you more in detail, if necessary, the details of this pilot project. That pilot project was actually an initiative launched by four member states that enabled the exchange of criminal record information, but only among those four member states. It started in 2006 with four, and then it grew up, I will say later, and it became like, I think if I'm not mistaken, like 12 or 13 participants at the end of the so-called Network of Judicial Registers, the NGR. The amazing thing with the, I will say, introduction of the electronic exchange was actually that what was noticed that the number of messages exchanged between France and Germany during the first month was equal to the number of those exchanged the last 10 years. So it was actually illustrating that a part of a legal basis that would overcome the problems to regulate the exchanges, the introduction of the information technology, so the electronic exchange, enabled substantially the volume of exchanges. I will not spend much time in what happened between 2006 and 2011, just as an information for you that indeed in 2009 there was the adoption of the legal instruments that I was referring to in my previous slide, so this ECRIS decision and framework decision. The decisions and the framework decision were establishing, I would say, the general mechanism, but there was still a need to discuss with the experts and with the practitioners on how the mechanism would look like in really, I would say, in practical terms. In other words, whether we will use Facebook, Twitter, or Google Mail in order to exchange information. And this discussion started from 2009 and ended up around 2011 by here what is called the adoption of the so-called technical specifications and a development of a specific messaging software actually that is now used by 24 member states in Europe. All the discussions were carried out, I will say, in a view, I will say, and that was the most important, to have the exchanges to start under the ECRIS in 2012. To be more precise, it was on the 27th of April, and if I'm not mistaken, Elise, I think that you were the first one, I would say, sending to the European Commission, that you were live, indeed, on that day. So, indeed, the ECRIS started on the 27th of April with 15 member states that were exchanging criminal record information. As you can see from the map, it's a bit red, but it's well, also quite green, which was quite an impressive event, I must say. Before I will say spending some time on the achievements, now let me explain you a few key principles of the ECRIS. They are here summarized on the next slide. Sorry. So you see, so I will be talking about the ECRIS codes, the deadline to answer, the member state of nationality, and so on and so forth. The ECRIS is a decentralized network. It's not a central database located somewhere in Europe, meaning that each member state indeed is owning the criminal record information. There is no such central database somewhere located in my office or in somewhere Europol or Eurojust or whatsoever, a European justice instance in Europe. No, it's completely decentralized. That's the picture in the middle, I would say. The ECRIS is using as a principle, and it's a very important principle, what I call the member state of nationality principle. What does that mean? It means actually that the member state of nationality is the central repository of all convictions handed down by courts in the European Union against its national. So in Europe, the responsibility for the ECRIS is shared between two, I would say, kind of member states. The member state of nationality, that is hosting all the information, and the so-called convicting member states, that has the obligation, and I'm insisting here, the obligation to send, and as it is written on the slide, update immediately information on convictions to the member state of nationality for the convicted person. This is called in ECRIS the notification process. An important principle that I don't need to repeat is indeed, of course, that the, I would say, legal instrument have also established the necessity per member state to identify one and unique central authority per member state. So per member state, there is one and unique central authority where all the exchanges, I would say, going through. And in the footnote, you can see that there is a kind of address book of such central authorities. Would you be interested in knowing for your country where this is located or where is the address? Or if you want to address a specific message, a request to that member state, you can have a look to the so-called one-stop shop for e-justice in Europe, which is the e-justice portal, and the link is given there in the footnote. Another important principle is indeed, next to the notification, is the requests and responses, I would say, mechanism. So, when a person is in a criminal proceeding, the member state of nationality, Yes. When a person is in a criminal proceeding, the convicting member state is indeed obliged to request the member state of nationality, whether that member state of nationality has past conviction about such a person. If it's for a criminal proceeding, the response must be provided. And I would even say there is a deadline for the provision of such information, which is 10 days, 10 working days. When it's for other purposes than criminal proceeding, when it's made for a competent authority, for a change of nationality, a resident permit, for example, the response is not mandatory, unfortunately. It's according to the national law, meaning that the member state is not obliged in some cases to respond. It depends on the national legislation of that member state. Let me illustrate you a short example of this process. This is an example of an Irish national convicted in Luxembourg. According to the ECRIS, I would say, the Luxembourgish central authority has, I would say, is obliged to notify the Irish central authority about the convictions of such a person. So there is indeed a message, because it's really a message, that is exchanged from the Luxembourgish central authority to the Irish central authority. How does that message look like? This is an example. I don't know if I can use the pointer. Okay, so you see here, there is this Luxembourgish island. It's a notification. It is sent to Ireland. This is for Mr. John Smith. It is from the criminal record Luxembourg. And it contains indeed some interesting information, like the deciding authority, a part of the nominal information of the person. It contains also indeed some conviction information. Let's go in a bit further in the conviction information. It's possible to indeed specify which kind of conviction is to be transmitted. So in this case, for example, that person has been convicted of an assault or threat on a representative of a public authority. Fair, but actually, if this is sent as it is, I would say the Irish authority will not understand this. And that's where the ECRIS codes are entering into the picture. Because next to the label of the offense, there is a number that you see here, which is 1208, for example, which doesn't mean a lot. This is actually what is here represented as the ECRIS codes. So it's a list of offenses and sanctions that allow each member state, I would say, when mapping to the national offense, to send the right information in the right format to, I would say, the other member state. And when this is then, of course, easy for the Irish central authority when receiving that and mapping that towards their national code to find out what it represents, of course. So no need for translation, less burden for the person to understand what is the information that I have received. I will say these ECRIS codes are helping a lot the work of the practitioners indeed to understand the information that has been received. So that was an illustration of this concept of the ECRIS codes. Continuing the example, suppose now that Irish national is enjoying the freedom of movement, is going on holidays in Spain. And that person has, I would say, did something wrong and is involved in a Spanish criminal proceeding. The Spanish central authority or the Spanish courts have the possibility to ask through ECRIS the information, knowing that that person is an Irish national. So if that person has declared himself as residing in Ireland, showing the necessary paper and so on, indeed the central authority of Spain, ECRIS, would send a request to the Irish central authority for having, of course, all the information. And that's the example. So this is an example of a message, I would say. This is a snapshot of this famous messaging software where we see indeed that the person now has declared himself as James Bond. And indeed, he's in a criminal proceeding in Spain, and here the court and the central authority wants to know whether that person has past conviction. But do you know who is James Bond? Is it Pierce Brosnan? Is it Sean Connery? Could be one of the two or the two of them. And that's where, and this example is actually is to illustrate that in ECRIS currently we can use the fingerprints as well. It's not mandatory, but they can be used indeed as a simple attachment in order to help for the identification. Now, why this is used? It's, of course, it's not always obvious to settle the identification of a person. If the person is indeed with good faith, he will say who he is and what is his nationality. But some people are, we'll say, taking another passport or are declaring themselves of another nationality. And that's where, indeed, the fingerprints might be interesting. Just for information, the fingerprint is indeed something that is culturally not used a lot in the judicial world. And that's also quite representative in, I would say, the ECRIS exchanges, because so far we see that actually the fingerprints are used by 8-9 member states, not that much. So either it seems that identification problems are not at all at stake, or maybe there is, I would say, a further thinking to do that about that. Continuing the example, now they have found Mr. James Bond in the Irish criminal recording, and they have found information. So if they have found information, it's then, of course, obvious that they will respond with what they have in the criminal record information. But not only what they could have of the person, but also what the Luxembourgish did send them a while ago. So by illustrating that, I hope you understand that indeed that mechanism will help indeed to have complete criminal record information. The nicest part. You remember the color of the map in April 2012? It was, half red, half green. Now, I'm very happy to announce you that today, since a few weeks, we have a very green map. It's a very ecological map. All member states are live. We were actually missing two member states. It was Portugal and Slovenia. But we heard a few weeks ago that Portugal did start the exchanges indeed successfully. So all member states are indeed live. What does that mean? It means that they started the exchanges. It doesn't mean that they are all interconnected with each other. Now, for the one among you that are good in calculation, can you tell me how many interconnections would that mean? 28 member states? 752 interconnections. We are not yet there. We are around 550, 580 interconnections, which means there is still a lot to do, but there was a lot done already since 2012. When we started in April 2012, the number of messages were around 30,000, 40,000 per month. Look now to the figures. This is indeed, the figures of the last 2 years. We are talking about 120, 140, 150, and even sometimes up to the 150. So it's, we noticed the last 5 years, when the ECRIS started, that there was a steadily increase of the volume of exchanges indeed. More interesting in the statistical indicator that we have put in place in the network is what I call the positive hits. What is a positive hit? When you send a request and you get a response, meaning you get a conviction or several convictions, this is called a positive hit, meaning that the person has or had past convictions in the criminal record register. Well, actually, that figure was a quite stable figure over the last 5 years, but we have always had 30% of positive hits, meaning that in 1/3 of the cases, there was past conviction of a person in a criminal record register. And we are not talking about 30 messages out of 100. if you see the figures there, well, we are talking responses with one or several convictions, 100,000 messages only in 2016. Going to the conclusions, well, ECRIS is up and running. ECRIS is working, I would say, very well. Today, I'm very pleased to announce you that we have 28 live member states that started the exchanges of criminal records in Europe. I would say that ECRIS is still in expansion, meaning that indeed it started very modestly with a few thousands of messages, and we are now, I would say, over the 150,000 in average. And, but I will not cut the grass of my colleague, we know that there is still a lot to do, and in particular in the exchanges for third country national, I would say.